agus an mar sin ag ráigh tí an súil, gnú cé an gan víc féin a chum cepenecha chreite san na sclisaré a cumí a bheitthe hiorí éce. Ad chat a chu tí a bheith don thúil a chum chun díte gé an súil, ach a chum cumí an súil a de héirigh trísin.
A very good evening. This is Gospel for You, a programme from Gospel for Grampian Radio, broadcasting from our studio here in Aberdeen in Victoria Gospel Hall. It's the station's heart that we get the gospel, the good news of salvation, out to every language group around the world. And this is why we broadcast John chapter 3, verse 16, the essence of the gospel, in at least three languages during the course of a Gospel for You program. Today we're going to do four, and actually more. Why? We have as a basis for what we do a number of scriptures, and the first of these, and probably one of the most important, is from Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 to 20, where this is before Jesus was taken up into heaven and his disciples saw it. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So in this program, you will be hearing John 3:16, not only in Gaelic as we have heard, but also Ukrainian, Polish, and a fan of Romo. We're not only doing that, but we're going to give you a taste of another project, a similar, almost sister project to what we're running right now, and that is Gospel for You International, where we make the bit more of a gospel message available, along with a prayer of repentance, God's Word, a chance to hear the gospel in different languages. And this means we can cover many more languages in an hour. And we broadcast this at various times on Gospel for Grampian Radio. And it's our heart, maybe, that one day, hopefully soon, we get, once we have extra impetus from God, we'll be able to bring many more languages of the gospel, perhaps even to your radio sets, perhaps in Africa, perhaps in Europe, perhaps in Asia, and it will be the Lord who will be bringing this about. But what's the show going to be all about? We have a regular theme for each week, and this week's theme is In Spite of Fear. Psalm 118, verses 5 and 6. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? This coming from Psalms. So the psalmist was very, very confident in his assessment that God was completely in control. When we put our trust fully in God, there's no saying what can be done. The psalmist knew that when he was hard pressed, he could cry out, as indeed any of us could. And it then says, the Lord brought him into a spacious place. He is convinced that the Lord is with him, that he need not be afraid. He even asked the questions, what can mere mortals do to me? Mere mortals, you and me. We get it wrong as mere mortals. We make the wrong choices. We do the wrong things. We go after things of the world. But as I've been thinking about it this week, we've been thinking about even living in spite of fear. So many people just now, and you may be one of them, are living in total fear of what is going to happen next. You may be in Ukraine, you may be in Gaza, you may be in Israel, you may be in Russia, you may be in any other war-torn area around the world. And it matters not. Fear can overtake each one of us. And some people thrive on causing fear to others. But God tells us that we should not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, petition with thanksgiving, present our requests before God. And I think this program perhaps should be more of a prayerful program as well. Prayer especially for those in real need right now. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we look out across the news, as we think about the world as a whole, there's so much greed, there's so much power trips, there's so much avarice, there's so much hatred, there's so much fear, Lord. But you, Lord God, have indicated that, just like the psalmist, Lord, when hard-pressed, the psalmist had cried out to the Lord, and you brought him into a spacious place. The psalmist was able to say, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Therefore, Lord God, for all of us, whoever you are, I pray, Lord, that you will demonstrate to each of these people listening right now that you are Lord over everything. You know what goes on in each person's heart. You know what their plans are. And your word also says that you frustrate the plans of the nations and thwart all their schemes. And because of that, Lord, I come and I stand in the gap for these people who, on whichever side they're on, are hard pressed on every side. And Lord God, they need you to show them that you are there. And I'm praying that you will give peace of mind and heart when everything seems to be lost. When it seems that people, precious people, families, members have died. When it seems that homes and businesses have been lost. And that even all hope is lost. That you, Lord God, will come and bring about comfort and restoration. Lord God, these are such dark times, but people need to know, Lord God, that you are ever present. People need to know that they can look up to you and put their trust in you. And I'm praying that right now people will be encouraged, that people will be given hope, and that they will be able to fully put their trust in you. Amen. You'll hear in this program a number of things as well. You'll hear a testimony by a lady called Jacqueline who had cancer. You'll also hear a message from Vijay Pillay of Aberdeen Christian Fellowship, where he talks about perfect love driving out all fear. Remember what we said at the start about that love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. This is the hope for you and for me. To finish off our program this evening, we're also going to be letting you hear two of these Gospel for You internationals. The first of these spoken by myself in English and the second in Latvian. May this program bring you great hope and great peace. Amen.
Йоан 3:16. Бо Бог так полюбив світ, що дав сина свого єдинородного, щоби кожен, хто вірує в нього, не загинув, але мав життя вічне.
Hi, my name is Jacqueline, and almost 8 years ago to the day, I believe God began to show me the link between emotions and disease as I lay in my hospital bed, being told that I had cancer again, and the results rolling in, going from bad to worse. It had now spread to bone and liver, and so an operation to remove some of the cancer. 6 months of chemo, radiation, and the following year I had 2/3 of my liver removed, along with my very healthy gallbladder, I might add. But I'm still alive, and I'm so grateful to God that he heard my prayer. I don't want to die, now that I know the doctors told me I wouldn't survive chemotherapy. I remember asking the orthopedic surgeon, so how long did it take the cancer to eat my hip? And he said about 18 months, and I was catapulted back to a situation with a family member. God began to speak. And as he started showing me about the link between emotion and disease, God sent some people across my path to confirm what he was saying. Some gave me books as well, and everything was just confirming what God was showing me. Some gave me words. Two friends gave me the same word. They gave me reconnaissance and strategy, and observe and strategy, and I felt like I was in a movie for the longest time. It was so surreal. Another friend came before the day of the operation. He said, Jax, God told me to tell you, do not look at the facts and the figures, for he is in control. And still a pastor said to me, I believe the generations behind you are going to stand on the shoulders of what you're learning. So the reason I'm saying there's a link between emotions and disease is because this is my second fight with cancer. The first was in 2004, and there was no cancer in my biological family. And then God spoke, and he used David and Goliath, and he said he will be with me like he was with David in the battle. And in 2014, he said to me, you drew a line in the sand almost 10 years ago, and now I'm going to show you how to cut off Goliath's head. Forgiving yourself and forgiving others is key to healing, along with being responsible to eat wisely and to declare good things over your life, like I am fearfully and wonderfully made, instead of I'm sick. Do I still get scared? Yes, late last year some strange things started happening, and God even gave me a dream about it, and I felt I needed to go to the doctor. Got to the doctor, all the tests, the results were great, and he explained that what had been happening was related to one of the operations. However, before I went to the doctor to get the results, I really felt in my heart that I had to declare, it is well with my soul. And as he is, so am I in this world. And Jesus is alive, and he's healthy, and he's strong, and so am I. And before I saw the doctor, most of my symptoms had disappeared. Regarding my journey, I can say that prayer, changing mindsets, along with the support and care from family and friends, made all the difference. So keep looking up and then look up again, because God is bigger. And my catchphrase for the last 8 years has been, God is bigger. Thank you.
Ewangelia Jana, rozdział 3, wers 16. Tak bowiem Bóg umiłował świat, że dał swego jednorodzonego Syna, aby każdy, kto w Niego wierzy, nie zginął, ale miał życie wieczne.
This is Gospel for You, where our theme is In Spite of Fear. So in this program already, just now, you heard your gospel, John 3:16, For God So Loved the World, in Polish, a testimony from Jacqueline all about how God used cancer to bring her closer in her trust to him. And your gospel, again, John 3:16, in Ukrainian. And as we go through this, as you listen to this, I'm also growing in faith in myself. As I think about all the various things that we're preparing for the program, God's also speaking to me. So it's a journey for me as well as it is for you. And I hope and pray an encouragement. I mentioned that there were a number of scriptures. And one of the other scriptures we didn't mention in our introduction was John 10 verse 10, which is the core scripture for Gospel for Grampian Radio. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it to the full, have it in abundance. We already know that we're to go out to speak the gospel to every language group around the world. Jesus didn't just stop there, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. And whosoever does believe can enter into God's promises, is accepted by God, and can then enter into those promises to be able to live a life in abundance in spite of the circumstances. Live a life in abundance in spite of fear. It's turning the whole concept of what the world wants and owns entirely on its head. And it's my prayer that even just in this program right now, you might grow in that confidence and belief and think about some of the things that we've been talking about, at least to grow less fearful and indeed more trusting in God. There will be an opportunity for you to respond toward the end of the program. Vijay Pillai coming up for you now from Aberdeen Christian Fellowship. And he's talking about perfect love driving out all fear.
This morning I want to look at fear, the subject of fear. The Inuit people live in the Arctic regions of the world. And they live in an environment that is really surrounded by snow and ice for really many months of the year. And I'm told that they have many words for snow. They have a word for snow that's lying on the ground, an actual word. We use adjectives and we describe it, but they actually have a word. They have a different word for the kind of snow that's falling. They have a different word for snow that is soft. Snow that is crushed, snow that is hard. They even have a precise word for the kind of snow that has an icy crust on it. They have another word for snow that's been walked upon. If a phenomena is significant to a society, like snow is to the Inuit people, you tend to have a lot of words for it. Fear is a universal human phenomena. And in English, we have a large number of words that give us really different flavors for the kind of fear we might be feeling. We have words like phobia, the panic. Some of you experience these brands of fear, anxiety, worry, dread. Even the word awe has an element of fear in it, an element of terror. And there are many more words that capture different aspects of fear. These words capture the way we feel when we experience this particular common human feeling. And generally speaking, fear isn't a pleasant feeling. It rattles us. It paralyzes us. We sometimes even do harmful things to ourselves to avoid fear, or we do harmful things to others to avoid that, escape that feeling of fear. And this morning I want to read just a couple of verses, and one from the Old Testament, and then I want to read one from the New Testament that addresses this matter of fear. And the first one from the Old Testament is a Psalm of David, Psalm 20. I'm just going to read verse 7 there. David writes, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." And then here's one from the New Testament, and this is from John's first epistle, chapter 4, verse 18. And he writes, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." They have not been perfected through love. So the Bible's answer, really, to fear, in a nutshell, is to trust the perfect love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. And I want to reflect on these couple of verses this morning. Now, in English, the word fear is a kind of umbrella term. It describes the physical, and a sensation, the psychological sensation that we experience when we feel threatened by some sort of danger. It might be danger that we feel threatens us, or maybe threatens someone that we love. This could be physical danger, or it could simply be danger we sense to our own well-being, or perhaps to the well-being of someone who loves us. And the truth is this, that we don't like being afraid. We don't like the sensation of anxiety or terror unless we are experiencing it in some sort of controlled way, like when you're on a ride on a roller coaster or choosing to skydive or some other extreme sport that you might want to do in a monitored, controlled sort of way. But something we need to know about fear is fear is actually a very natural emotion. And in its right context, fear is even a good emotion. See, well-adjusted human beings need to be capable of feeling fear. Fear helps us generally keep safe. If a lion were to suddenly appear from behind one of the cars this morning as you were coming from the car park, you'd hope that your body had the good sense to be afraid. You'd hope that your body was well adjusted, that you'd reflexively either flee the scene, or if you thought it was the better option, try and fight the lion. See, the fear is actually the body's strategy to escape the perception of danger. And generally speaking, fear is actually not such a bad thing. In fact, there's just the right amount of fear that's necessary to perform tasks as well. Performance psychologists, these are psychologists who particularly deal with folk who are, for example, acting or in sport. These performance psychologists talk about an optimum anxiety. It's just the right amount of anxiety to motivate us to do what we need to do and to do it well. So, for example, the nervous energy that athletes feel just before one of the races actually helps them focus. Focus all their concentration, focus all their energy, and allows them to run the best race that they can run. The butterflies that actors like our friend Nathan Fields in his stomach just before he goes onto the stage is actually all not so bad. It actually helps them. These nerves help them, believe it or not, remember lines and perform with greater intensity. I don't know if you've ever heard of the famous Shakespearean actor Laurence Olivier. I've been told he had such bad stage fright, right? I mean, he was one of the great actors, and he had such bad stage fright that every time he'd go onto stage, he would throw up, and he had other stomach ailments that came. And you'd think, fear is actually not such a bad emotion. I think it's partly because we live in a society that is so used to comfort, so used to ease, that we think that fear must be avoided at all costs. We tend to, in our society, tend to coddle our fears. We tend to pamper our fears rather than try and make it work for us. A few years ago, I remember chatting with our younger son on the way to school, Micah, and he said to me, pointing to his kind of abdominal area, that he was feeling something that wasn't very nice. And I asked if he was unwell, and he said to me, no, he always feels that just before he goes to do a test. I think he was in primary school or something at that time. And what I could have done at that point was really to fuss over his nerves. And I could have said to him, well, if that's the way you're feeling, let's go home. After all, you're not feeling so well. I can call in sick. I could have perhaps pampered him till his fears are gone, and that's one way to alleviate fear. And perhaps some of you have done that. Instead, I did something else. And some of you who are parents might recognize this strategy as well. I told him that his nervousness, I didn't need to alarm him. I told him that what he was feeling was in fact a fairly normal feeling. In fact, it could believe it or not, help him concentrate. His fear could, in fact, work for him if he allowed him to. I had to interpret his fears for him. And one of the first things that we need to do to deal with our fears is to interpret it. We need to understand really what our fears are telling us. And they are. God has designed our bodies in such a way, and our fears are in fact telling us something. You see, our fears are reliable signposts of what we think is most important to us. Our fears tell us what we value the most. I mean, take the instance of a man who's terrified to be in a public place because he fears he might catch some sort of illness. You see, his fear tells him that he prizes physical health, perhaps over other things. Or take the woman who stays up late night wondering what her friends are thinking of her. Her fears tell her that social acceptance is of the utmost importance to her. What about the school pupil who has not been able to eat properly all week or sleep well while they've been waiting for their exam results? Now, her fear tells us that she values her grades above other things like physical health and so on. See, fear can be a good measure of what you value the most. Fear reveals where a person thinks that they will find security, where a person thinks they will find certainty. So, see, because fear reveals what we value so much, fear also reveals our idols. It reveals what we truly worship. It reveals where we go to find our deepest sense of security. It reveals our counterfeit gods. It reveals our idols like power. It reveals our idols like money, acceptance, physical health. These things, as good as they might be, can turn into idols for our lives. And the truth is that your idols will never relieve you of your fears, at least permanently. They will not. See, God invites us through our fears. God invites us to trust in Him and not to trust in our idols. And let me take you to the first verse that we were looked at in the Old Testament. And listen again to David in Psalm 20. He says in verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." You see, chariots and horses were the ancient world's equivalent to stealth bombers or nuclear arms. The nations that had chariots, nations that had these horses available to them, really enjoyed the pinnacle of military power, of military might. And David says, well, you know, some people, some nations may trust in military might for their sense of safety. Some nations may feel like they're in control because they have power. And some may feel that they have certainty for the future because no one can assail them, no one can attack them. They're invulnerable. But David says, we, the people of God, he says, are different. We trust in the name of our God. Our hope is in the Lord. If we are secure at all, it's because the Lord is with us. If we can cope with our lives, it is because we know who is in control of our lives. If you are at peace about what the future might bring, uncertain as it might be, it's because we know who holds the future. We trust, David says, in the name of the Lord. See, fear is an invitation to trust the ultimate source of our security. It's an appeal really to depend upon God and upon God alone. It's a call to hold the hand of the one that never changes in the face of all of the uncertainties that life brings us. You see, everything that makes you wobble, everything that makes your knees tremble, is really just another reason to hold on to God even more tightly. Now, I want us to think about God's solution here for a second, and think about what God's solution really tells us about how our fears tend to be eased. You see, it's trust that calms our fear. And we don't think about that. It's not knowledge, it's not power, that's what we think will calm and ease our fears. It's not certainty that will ease our fears. See, when we tend to be afraid, what we think is we want knowledge. We want to know that we're going to be okay. And so what we do is that we try and fill that gap in our knowledge with information. We Google it, and we call it research. I've heard people say, I've researched it, and they've just looked at some crank websites. But we Google it to find out what we don't know. We speak to experts who have studied the subject and so on. We want to know that we have the strength for what faces us. We want to know that we have all the clarity that we need for the future. But think of what really does help us when we feel afraid. It's not really knowledge, because we rarely have total knowledge. Even the people who offer knowledge don't really offer total knowledge to us. If you notice, what helps calm fears is, in fact, not information, but the hand of someone you trust. I don't know if you notice that. What calms our fears is trusting someone you know who loves you, who truly cares about your interest. And let me read what John says here in chapter 4, verse 18, in his first epistle. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. It's love that gives relief to our fear. I've shared the story of when I took our older son. I just spoke about the younger son. The older son is unwell this morning, but I shared about how our older son, Yavi, I took him to get his immunizations when he was still a toddler. And after a few visits with the doctor, he quickly realized that these trips to the doctor sometimes meant you'd get a painful jab in the arm. And during one of these routine inoculations, Yavi realized what was about to happen. And you could see a sense of terror, a sense of alarm coming there. And what I did at that time, I looked at his face, and I started smiling. And I said to him that he's going to be okay. And eventually, I managed to persuade the poor boy. His face turned from terror and literally started smiling and imitating my smile. He thought everything was good until he got a jab in his arm, and the tears returned. And then I reassured him once again. But my point is this. My love interpreted his fear. My love assured him, enabled him to face what he thought was a potential danger. See, love does that. The love of people you trust does that. It can calm our fears. And many of us have done that to those we love. But here's the thing, here's the problem. Even love is not enough to drive out fear and to do so permanently. Now let's say what I mentioned here this morning about Yavi turned out quite differently. Let's say he trusted my love, and he allowed the nurse then to jab him with that nasty needle. And now let's say we learned a few days later that the inoculation that he received came from a rare accident, a contaminated batch of needles. And as a result, my son, who trusted my love, trusted that I would do what is in his best interest, fell seriously ill. See, because of his trust in my love, he allowed himself to face the pain that he was actually trying to avoid. And loving as I was, I didn't do what was right by him. See, and many of us in some way or other have known this experience or have done this. We don't always do the right thing, even though we love the people we are advising or guiding. So what we actually need in order to deal with our fears is much more than the kind of love that we humans are accustomed to give to each other. What we need, as John says, is perfect love that drives away fear. It's a love that can be perfectly trusted because it's love that knows perfectly. It's a love that always acts rightly, never fails. It's a love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 14, verse 6. See, it's a love that comprehensively knows everything, who totally knows. Jesus is the truth that holds you by the hand when you face your fears. He's not just a well-meaning parent who can sometimes and oftentimes get it wrong. He's not just a loving friend who walks with you in your sorrow, but you realize they are not able to really truly help you, because he is truth. He doesn't simply give you love. He knows exactly the outcome of every situation you walk through that terrifies you. And if he says, "You've got nothing to fear," you truly have nothing to fear. Now, one of the habits that often plague people who are anxious, people who are fearful, or perhaps when you've been fearful, one of the habits is the tendency to constantly ask what if questions. It usually involves expecting some kind of negative outcome to every situation. What if what I'm doing ends in total catastrophe? What if I make a mistake at work and then I get sacked? And what if I never find a job after I get fired? What if no one likes me and I find myself lonely for the rest of my life? What if my headache is really a symptom of something terminal? And usually whatever answer that you give leads to another series kind of what-if questions. And that leads to still more what-if questions. And it's always expecting a worst-case scenario. And in some ways, and this is true, in some ways no one can ever rule out the worst-case scenario. You know, the 10-year-old girl who's walking in Duthie Park wearing this beautiful yellow raincoat, maybe actually concealing a machete under there. Well, she may probably not, but see, people who ask what-if questions are not happy with probable. They want certain. And certainty comes only when you have total knowledge. So there's always space to ask what-if questions. So if in your anxiety, in your fear, you were to ask the ultimate what-if question, what question would that be? What would the ultimate fearful outcome look like? And John, in fact, tells us in 1 John chapter 4. In fact, let's jump down to, not to verse 18, we're going to jump to the verse right before that, to verse 17. And this is what John says. This is how love has made, let me say that again. This is how love is made complete among us. This is the love of Jesus. He's been talking about the perfect love of Jesus. So that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. John takes us to the worst case scenario. You've what-ifed your questions to the ultimate spine-chilling scenario. The little girl in Duthie Park has pulled out her machete and now she's assaulted you. It hasn't ended well for you and you're now on the other side. You're dead. What could possibly go wrong now, right? Well, the Bible tells us there's in fact another major event that could turn out bad for you. You're facing the judgment that every human will one day face. You and I, every human being will one day stand before their maker. And all your fears that you ever thought you felt and experienced will be eclipsed by this ultimate fear that faces you. And you don't want to be in that horrifying place where you find yourself on the wrong side of God for eternity. This is the assurance that we have in face of such dread. And John says this in 1 John 4:18. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Our worst reason for fear is not that some great calamity might happen to us in this life. John says our worst reason for fear is that on that day that God judges every human being, we might be found wanting. And that is scary, John says. Or Jesus puts it another way in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 20. He says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And this is kind of John's point. He says, if that greatest fear, the fear of your eternal destiny, is calmed by the perfect love of Jesus, do you not suppose that same love is adequate for every other fear that you may ever have? If Jesus is an adequate defender on the day of judgment, John says, do you not suppose he's adequate for the headache you think is about to kill you? Do you not think that he's adequate for all your social anxieties? Or do you not think that he's adequate for your fear of being rejected by people? Do you not think he's adequate for the worries that you have about your health? You see, when your greatest fear, the fear of your eternal destiny, is calmed by the perfect love of Jesus, every other fear, all your lesser fears, are addressed also by the same perfect love of Jesus. I want to close this morning. I want to read to you the lyrics of a song by Amy Grant. Now, Amy Grant is a Christian singer who used to be popular a few years ago. About 10 years ago, she wrote a song called Unafraid. Now, I've put the words down. It's not great poetry. It sings better than it reads, you know, and it often happens. I was reading Raymond Sutherland's poems this morning, and it's nothing like Raymond Sutherland's poems. But there's an important point here, and I'd like to read it to you. In the first verse, the song's called Unafraid. In the first verse, she addresses her husband, and this is what she says. Woke up this morning with you in our bed, going over and over everything you said. Who taught you how to speak the words that you say? I've always wanted to be talked to that way. Love has made you unafraid. And what she's saying there is really that when we experience love in the way that we are meant to, in a way that is wholesome, we tend to offer love to others fearlessly. We tend to offer them transparently in our relationships. Love makes us unafraid to be vulnerable in our relationships. Love makes us unafraid, fearless to be happy to edify those who are in our relationship. Then she goes on to, in the second verse, she starts addressing her children. She's watching her children growing up. And this is what she says. Watching my children finding their way through struggles and triumphs and heartbreak, I hope the roads they take are making them strong. I'll still be on my knees long after they're gone. Love has made me unafraid. And so in this verse, she's seeing her children struggling as they grow up to become adults, and their heartbreak tugs at her heart. And she could be gripped by anxiety. She could be gripped by fear. Instead, she falls to her knees. That's a gesture of prayer. She falls to her knees in prayer, and there she finds the love of God, that perfect love of God that makes her fearless, unafraid about her children. And then finally, she reflects, this is the third verse, and she reflects on her aging mother. And this is what she writes. She says, my lovely mother is getting on in years. And the way her body's aging brings her girls to tears, the way she trembles with each effort she makes. She just says, heaven's getting closer each day. Because love has made her unafraid. Amy Grant's mother, Gloria, had a great impact on Amy Grant and her sisters. Gloria Grant was truly a devout woman of God who loved Jesus. And as Amy watches her mother fading with age, she notices the calm in her hasn't changed. In fact, she's ready to face death. In fact, Gloria, her mother, looks forward to heaven. And she looks forward fearlessly to the world that is still to come. And she's not terrified about what lies ahead. And that's because the perfect love of Jesus makes her also unafraid. And then the song closes like this. It says, love could make, love can make, love will make you unafraid. And maybe there are some this morning that who'll say, the reason I continue to be paralyzed by fear is because I haven't truly, fully allowed myself to experience that perfect love of Jesus. I have, even sometimes as a follower of Christ, chased after idols. That's where my fears are. And perhaps I could this morning make the perfect love of Jesus mine. Maybe some of you are considering it. Or maybe others venture a little farther and say, well, I can do it. I really can make this perfect love of mine. And the guarantee of our Lord Jesus to each one is that perfect love will drive out fear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that there are many situations in life where we find ourselves trembling and fearful, and sometimes we aren't even aware of the years of habit of how we protect ourselves and do things, and our body feels that, feels the anxiety, feels the fear. Oh Lord, we pray in each one of these, that none of us is immune, Lord. Lord, we pray this morning that we would open our hearts to be perfected by that perfect love that was shed on the cross of Calvary for each one of us. The love that came into this world, not because we sought you, not because we wanted you or even pursued you, because you loved us with that everlasting love, and you gave your son. Father, you gave your son up to the cross so that those who believed in him might be staggered, floored by this perfect love of Jesus Christ, that we might have eternal life. And Father, we pray there are people this morning who are at different places in that whole spectrum of that walk, Lord. And there are some of us who fear, still tremble, Lord. Teach us to be floored by that marvelous, perfect love of Jesus. And it is in his precious name that we pray all these things. Amen.
Vijay Pillai from Aberdeen Christian Fellowship. Perfect love drives out all fear. This is Gospel for You, where this evening we've been considering living in spite of fear. Let's have a reminder of our scripture. Psalm 118 verses 5 and 6. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Now, it may be that that is you being really afraid. It may also be that you might say, I would like to know Christ Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. We're going to do something a bit different tonight because we have two examples of Gospel for You International. It's a new project for Gospel for Grampian, enabling us to be able to get much more by way of different languages into our programming. There's short gospel messages in different languages, and one day we'll have native speakers for many of these or all of these, which would be fantastic, bringing some more of these to your radio set. But each of these contains the gospel, a scripture, a short message, and also an opportunity to respond. You'll hear two of these Gospel for You internationals, first in English, spoken by myself, and secondly in Latvian. Both are the same basic text. So I'll be back after you've heard from these two.
Welcome to Gospel for You International, a new short foreign language gospel segment which allows us to consider a scripture and relate it to the good news of salvation made possible through Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Our scripture is taken from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. We are mortals. We are imperfect. We can make many promises, but if you are anything like me, you'll find it very difficult, if not impossible, to keep these over time. As I've come to know God more, I realize I can do nothing. I realize that when I commit my day and actions to God, asking Him to help me live my life and keep my promises, I realize I can walk humbly with God. I realize I can act justly and give mercy, especially when I'm at my wit's end of patience. How do we get right with God? Accept Christ Jesus, Son of God, as our Lord and Saviour. Here's a prayer that places entire reliance on God. Dear Lord, please forgive me for the way I have lived my life, my thoughts, wrong attitudes, my behaviour, my words both written and spoken by which I have hurt others, my broken promises and the ways I have let others down. Please help me to turn from all that is wrong in my life. Please now come into my life by your Spirit to be my Lord and Saviour forever. Help me to be the person you want me to be. Amen.
Welcome to Gospel for You International, a new short foreign language gospel segment which allows us to consider a scripture and relate it to the good news of salvation made possible through Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Latvijski laipni lūdzam Gospel 4 Jo International. Tagad īs evaņģēlijas svešvalodu segments ļauj mums apsvērt kādu svēto rakstu vietu un saistīt to ar labo vēsti par pestīšanu, kas ir iespējama caur Kristu Jēzu Dieva dēlu. Mūsu raksti ir ņemti no Mihas 6, 8, viņš tev, mirstīgais, ir parādījis, kas ir labs. Un ko tas kungs no jums prasa? Rīkoties taisnīgi un mīlēt žēlastību un staigāt pazemīgi, ar savu Dievu mēs esam mirstīgie. Mēs esam nepilnīgi, mēs varam dot daudzus solījumus, bet, ja esat kaut kas līdzīgs man, jums būs ļoti grūti vai pat neiespējami tos izpildīt laika gaitā. Iepazīstot Dievu, arvien vairāk saprotu, ka neko nevaru darīt. Es saprotu, ka, uzticot savu dienu un darbības Dievam, lūdzot, lai Viņš palīdz man dzīvot manu dzīvi un pildīt savus solījumus, es saprotu, ka varu staigāt pazemīgi ar Dievu. Es saprotu, ka varu rīkoties taisnīgi un apžēlot, it īpaši tad, ja man ir pacietība. Kā mēs varam tikt galā ar Dievu? Pieņemiet Kristu Jēzu Dieva dēlu par mūsu kungu un pestītāju. Šeit ir lūkšana, kas pilnībā paļaujas uz Dievu. Dārgais kungs, lūdzu, piedod man par to, ka esmu dzīvojis savu dzīvi, manas domas, nepareiza attieksme. Mana uzvedība, mani vārdi, gan rakstīti, gan runāti, ar kuriem esmu sāpinājis citus. Mani nepildītie solījumi un veidi, kā esmu pievīlis citus. Lūdzu, palīdziet man novērsties no visa tā, kas manā dzīvē ir nepareizs. Lūdzu, tagad nāc manā dzīvē ar savu garu. Lai mūžīgi būtu mans kungs un glābējs, palīdzi man būt tādai personai, kādu tu vēlies, lai es būtu. Āmen.
This is Gospel for You. And Gospel for You is a program broadcast through Nexus International Broadcasting Association on shortwave 7290 kHz and 1323 kHz on a Monday evening. We're very grateful to Nexus for carrying these programs. We want to get the gospel, the good news of salvation, out to every language group around the world. And that is why you hear your gospel, John 3:16, in this program in Gaelic, Ukrainian, Polish, and in a little bit of Fan Oromo. And you've also heard Your Gospel International, a new project for Gospel for Grampian, allowing us to get short gospel messages and scriptures and a prayer of repentance out in different languages. Bit by bit we'll get there, and we would love to be able to present that with native speakers. But we hope and pray that what you've heard this evening, both in English and in Latvian, has hopefully whetted your appetite for what is to come, and who knows, who may have yet accepted Christ as Lord and Saviour. If you have accepted Christ as Lord and Saviour, we would invite you to start reading the Bible, because the Bible is God's Word. It is inspired by God, and in particular, do God's Word. If you simply do the following: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbour as yourself. Jesus said that this encompasses all the law and the prophets. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength encompasses all the law and the prophets. And that's a very, very good place to start. Also start praying, because prayer is talking to God. Please do get in contact. And you can do that by sending through an email to rob, that's R-O-B, at gnumber4g.org.uk. If you have any questions as well, send to rob at g4g.org.uk. We're looking forward to coming to you again another week, and we hope and pray that this programme has inspired and given you hope. We'll be finishing off now with Your Gospel, John 3:16, in Afan Oromo. Bye-bye now.
John 3:16 in Afan Oromo from Ethiopia. Wangela Yohannes bukonna sadila kofsikuraja kanajera. Wakayu akasiti tokicha ilmasa hamma kennu fitti biya lafa jallate. Kunimmo isatti kan aman hundinu jireenya barabara hakabatuf male habatuf miti.